welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back, everybody, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 30 for January the 7th, 2014. I'm your host, Jack, and tonight I have a special co-host who is...
Dayanara.
Please check out the website if you have a chance at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on all these shows or give me suggestions for future shows. You can also leave us some voice messages or voicemail at 724-701-0550. If you have any questions again or future show ideas, drop me an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Technoman. Please sign up for the future newsletters, and you will do that or else at the website tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Tonight I brought in a special co-host here who has been working on some networking cable. We're going to be talking about Cat 5 and Cat 6 cables, a little bit of their differences, and try to help you along there in your endeavors of maybe networking some stuff together, and try to lay that out there for you so you can learn a little bit more about how to do networking. So let me go ahead and bring my co-host in here. First of all is Dayanara, who has been working with her school as a student tech. Dayanara, can you tell us a little bit about maybe what you do in a normal day?
Well, it varies from working on computers or fixing the printers in school or hooking up the printers, to the laptops. A lot of people have trouble doing that because they don't know what to search for. So then I step in and then help them with that. So, other times, like he has said, I have worked with networking cables. Just recently learning about the color codes, and we're trying to have, what would you say that is, like a little test thing against Mr. Nev?
Yeah, I guess they were having some kind of contest at their school there with all their student techs. They got four different student technologists. So as Dayanara said, we're going to talk a little bit about networking cables, so we don't want to get too far ahead here with the color codes. We want to start off, first of all, is maybe Dayanara knows this, maybe she doesn't. Why are individual pairs of cables twisted with each other? Why is the cable twisted within the cover? Do you know?
No, I don't, actually.
Okay, well, most people don't. Most people don't know that. And, you know, I think that's a very important thing to understand why it's twisted. And the answer to that is Cat 5, Cat 5E, which do you know what the E stands for?
Nope.
Okay. The E stands for enhanced. So enhanced cable usually has a better shielding on the outside of it, a better cover on the wires. And then there's also a Cat 6 cable. All four of these cables have four pairs of two wires each that are twisted together along the entire length of the cable. So Dayanara, how many total wires are in a Cat 5 cable?
I'm not really sure.
You never counted them when you laid them out?
No. I just had to hurry up and put them together and then cut the wires.
All right. Well, here.
Make sure it works.
I'm going to give you a clue. There's four pairs of two wires each. Four times two is?
Eight.
Eight. There's eight total connectors in there. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the purpose of twisting the wires. Is actually to try to eliminate any tendency of the signal of the wire to interfere with the wire next to it. And the act of twisting the wires actually makes it more difficult for this to happen. This physical property is the entire basis of the broad scope distributing the type of cable. Or as we just say all that in a nutshell is called twisted pair. Now laboratory research has provided that the degree of the twist between pairs of the same cable, the tendency for signal interference, also known as crosstalk, could be further reduced. The twist variance is known as a twist ratio. So now do you understand why those cables are twisted?
Yeah.
So they're all twisted in there so they don't interfere with each other. That's the thought of the process anyway. I always often thought it was twisted to make them even stronger, and maybe that could be something to it, but apparently that's not exactly what we're going for here. So one of the main or major improvements that was made in Cat 5e cable over Cat 5 was the change in the twist ratio between the pairs. So it's not just a shielding, it's also a tighter twist. So this problem of crosstalk is even more reduced. As a result, the cable is also known to handle much greater workload than its predecessor. So in other words, you can put a lot more network traffic. That makes sense, right? You can put more network traffic through that network cable.
Mm-hmm.
Right, makes sense. Okay, so as Dayanara was going to tell you a little bit ago here, she was talking about the 8 connectors. And what really amazed me here, and this is actually my co-host tonight, is my daughter, if you haven't figured that out. But what amazed me when she came home is she's working with another technologist that I know very well. He's a friend of mine. And she's actually learning the color code of the wire. She actually had that in her head about a week ago. And I don't know if she has it in her head today, but she's going to try to tell you the color code and the way that you'd lay those wires out when you strip it. And this is to put an RJ45 on the end of it. So, Dana, do you know the color codes?
Well, it goes orange, white, orange, blue, white. Oh, green, white, sorry. Blue, white, green, brown, white, and brown.
Okay, so once again, we'll go over those one more time. It's orange, white, orange, green, white, blue, white, green, brown, white, and then brown. And that is a standard, what kind of cable did I tell you that was? Do you remember?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, folks, it's a standard straight through cable. That's what we're going for here. It's a straight through cable. So in other words, Dayanara, so if you have that color code on one end, would you use the same color code on the other end?
Yes.
All right. So what happens if you want to have a crossover cable? Would it be different on the other end than it is on the primary end?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's different. And the reason that is because the crossover, there is some connectors that will cross two different pin sets. And there's a reason for that. And Dayanara, what's the maximum length of the cable that you can run?
100 meters or about 324 feet.
See, she's learning here, guys. So if she can learn it at the age of 18, I know everybody out there can get this. Everybody out there can learn this. It's very easy stuff. We're not dealing with brain surgery here.
I had to learn this all about in like maybe 3 or 4 days.
Right, so that way she could actually do it in 3 or 4 days, so she can be able to, let me think about this for a second, how I'm going to say this. So she could be able to do this contest that they were doing at school. That was the important factor. That's what she was working on. So, all right. What we're going to talk about now is the crossover cable. And on a crossover cable, do you know why exactly you would cross those cables over?
So you can match them up so they can work together.
No, okay, there's another reason for that, and a lot of the audience out there probably already knows this because, you know, they've been doing networking a long time. The main reason we make crossover cables is so we can either go from computer to computer, or we can go from a piece of gear to a piece of gear. And I usually go from my firewall to my router in a network. And you can do that without using a network switch. So the switch actually does all the circuitry for you, but if you don't have a switch and you just want to connect two devices together, you would build a crossover cable. And folks, these color codes can be found very easily on the internet if you do a search for Cat5 color codes. And actually, if you even go to Google Images, you're going to find millions of them, and it will tell you how to lay these things out, make it very, very easy. The one thing I could tell you over the years of running cable, there's a couple things you need to avoid. And one of the big ones that we found is the drop ceiling lights, the big lights in the drop ceilings. When you're running your cable, avoid going over those. You want to go around those cables. And the reason you want to go around them cables, around them lights, is so you don't pick up the interference from what's called the ballast in there. The ballast has a 60 cycle or 60 hertz hum. You won't pick that up into your networking cable. And that could be a little bit problematic. Let's see here what else we can ask my co-host about there tonight. So have you changed any network cards in the computers yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay. No, she hasn't changed any network cards in the computers. Did you have your contest yet for your networking ends?
No, because Mr. Nav hasn't really told us when to go against him. We have to do it under 5 minutes and see if we can beat him.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. Is I just lost my train of questions here. I'm thinking. Okay, go through the steps one at a time. How you'd go about putting an RJ45 connector onto a Cat5 cable? What's the tools you're gonna need? I mean, you're gonna need a hacksaw, a bandsaw, a pair of pliers. What tools do you use? And do you know what they're called to put the end on it? And maybe just walk through that and tell us how you would do that.
Actually, I've only had to learn about it. I've only started learning about it for about a week or two, so I don't really know all of the tools used to cut the wires or the clips.
Okay, what's the first thing you got to do, though?
You have to cut the old piece off.
Cut the casing off.
Yeah.
The casing goes off. Do you have to strip the individual ends, the wires themselves?
You have to pull them apart.
Yeah, but I mean, no, the red, the blue, do you have to pull the insulation off of those?
No.
No, right, you don't. And do you know why you don't pull the insulation off of those?
I do not.
Okay. The reason you don't pull the insulation off of those is because there's actually little, almost like razor blades in the end of that RJ45. When you push those cables in, and when you use that other device to squeeze it, you remember the name of that?
No.
Okay. This is like pulling teeth, folks, tonight. I thought this would be more of a fluent show here for you. The reason, and what we use there is called crimpers. So we have to crimp the end on. And, folks, you have to use crimpers. We've tried before to try to use a screwdriver and poke them in, and they have to crimp, and the reason they crimp is because those little razor blades have to go into those connectors. That's why it's very important to do that. If you don't do that, you're not going to have a good connection. What should you do, Dana, before you crimp the wire?
You have to see if they're all lined up exactly like straight across.
Correct. You have to make sure they're all lined up straight across. And you should also look at the end to look at what?
I don't know.
Jesus. You should also look at the end to make sure that the wires are all pushing clear to the top of the connector. Make sure they're all up on top. Sometimes when you test it, you'll have a cable that won't test properly because one of those wires are not seated properly.
I've had that.
And you've had that. Now, what kind of testing gear do you use to test the network cable?
I honestly don't, know what it's called, device.
Could be called a network tester. Could be called a... And what happens when you get these light sequences? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 4, 5, 8. What happens then? What do you got to do then?
Well, then you have to, snip it off and then do it all over again make it work.
You got to snip the end off and do it all over again. That is correct. Very, very simple. I thought she was more up on this stuff. So last week she brought it home. She said, Dad, I'm going to show you. Look at this cable I'm making. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm making a cable, Dad. And she spliced it and put the end on. I was like, wow. Protege. Something new, something great there, came about where she can put ends on cables.
Only learning that in about 3 days.
See that? Learning it in about 3 days. Now, I'm going to ask you, Dana, see if you know the answer to this, because a lot of our audience out there, I'm sure, are sitting there right now going, man, I really like to know if this is going on here. And I'm going to see here, first of all, if anybody's in our chat room tonight, hanging out there with us. Nope, I don't see anybody chatting on Spreaker tonight. Matter of fact, this show does come off on Spreaker. And if you go to Spreaker.com/user/JacksTechCorner, you can find the show live here on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you can listen in. You can listen on your smartphones live, and hopefully sooner or later we'll get some people in there that will start chatting with us. I think that's very important. All right, let me go back to my notes here. So what happens when you're running cable through a ceiling and you come up about 20 feet short? What should you try to do?
I don't know that one because I've never worked.
Okay. most people, well, I know that I ran into this before. We had trouble with a network cable that started losing connection, started dropping packets. And a packet is just that. It's data coming through the cable, and it wouldn't go through anymore. And after examining the wire going through the ceiling, tracing it out, trying to figure out where in the heck it went, I found this big clump of black tape. And the black tape told me right away that somebody tried to splice this wire together. Now, you can't splice the wire together because previously we said it is what?
Twisted.
It's twisted, and there has to be a certain amount of twist in that cable for everything to work right. When you take the twist out and you strip the wire and you start splicing it together and taping it, you end up getting a bunch of...
Don't know.
Don't know. Let me see here. You start getting a lot of... It is called... I'm getting it here for you. Anyway, it is right here.
Crosstalk?
Crosstalk. You start getting a lot of crosstalk on those wires. That is why the packets start dropping. The packets start losing their grip on reality, and they just kind of go off into space, basically. And not the good space, the web, the bad space all around the darn building. Now, there is a way to do this. If you actually run out of cable, if you're running the cable out there and you run out of cable, the best way, the only way I can think, the best way would be to rip it out and run new cable. The cable should go from point A to point B and be one continuous run. If you are somewhere and you are out of money and there's no way to buy any more cable and you have 15 extra feet laying around, what you could do is you'd put an end on each cable, and then you would connect those cables with a device known as a...
I don't know that.
It has a coupler. You'd put the coupler in between the two ends and just plug them in together. That way you keep your twisted pair and you don't lose anything to crosstalk is exactly how that works. So again, we talked about using the crossover cable, how you can use that to avoid a switch. I'm going to tell you one other little story here. And the reason I'm going to tell you this story is because something that actually happened to us. We actually had a fiber optic run between two physical buildings on the same hillside. And the fiber was dug up one day. So the fiber was gone and we had no more fiber optic. Now, I had to tie the two buildings together, and the only possible way I had to do that was to run Cat 5 cable between my buildings. And the Cat 5, until this day, a lot of people said, Jack, that will never work, was almost 500 meters. So do you think I was above the maximum length of cable?
Yes.
Right. I was way above the maximum length of the cable. But what we did was, once we got to the other side, we put a switch in. And the switch actually boosted the signal enough. We put a switch on both sides, and it boosted the signal enough where we can put more signal through that cable, and we basically made a repeater. So it basically worked out just fine. So other than that, that's going to be about it this evening. Danair, do you have anything else to tell the greater audience out there listening to Tips from the Server Room?
I do not, because this is my first time on here, so... I'll leave the ending to my dad.
Okay, folks, so I'm going to wrap it up here before our iPad dies and we lose our boss talk here, boss jock, and we lose all of our intro and exit music here. So if you want to learn anything more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi Server, from A to Z, folks, from install to administration, please sign up for one of my online courses at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. You can also look online, or you can look for the online class link at the top of the page at tipsfromtheserverroom. These courses are self-paced. You watch a video and you take a short quiz, and don't let those quizzes scare you. I've had people email me and say, Jack, I haven't taken a quiz since high school. I can't pass your course. And I said, you will pass my course. Once you complete the course, I will mail your certificate in the mail. You can use those for attach them to your resumes. You can use those to maybe increase your salary at your job. And it's just a great way to get some continuing education. Once again, you can sign up today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, I hope you had a good time here with myself and...
Dayanara.
Dayanara, and I hope you picked up something tonight. And I just wanted to bring Dayanara in here tonight to show you that it's not about us old guys. It's about the younger generation, too. We can bring them along. They can learn. If you have any kids in your house not working on computers yet, put them in front of a computer. Say, hey, run some CCleaner on there or fix those computers up or show them what a server is. Get them interested, folks, because we're going to be going off and retiring one day. We need the younger generation to take over to keep all these amazing computers running. So until next week, have a great work week, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday. Hopefully catch us on Spreaker live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday evenings. Take care, everyone. We'll see you then on Tips from the Server Room. I'll see you later. Goodbye from Jack and...
Dayanara.
You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.